One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, welcome to the post-match podcast. Same as normal. We're going to do match reaction. We're going to do player ratings and a clip from our instant match reaction as well after Liverpool's 1-1 draw with Manchester United. So here's Paul Machin with his match reaction.
All right, welcome to Red Red TV and welcome to the world where we're disappointed with the point at Old Trafford. What a Man City change has happened. To be honest, I'm not quite disappointed at the performance from Liverpool today. I think we could have been braver in possession. It reminded me a lot of the Sheffield United game. They were very compact. We needed to be braver in possession to work our way through them. And it wasn't until, and I'm sure heads rolled left, right and centre when he came on the pitch, it wasn't until we brought Adam Lallana on and made Oxlade Chamberlain on the pitch and then ultimately Naby Keita as well. Lads who hungry to have the ball, hungry to get on the front foot, hungry to drive forward with it, that we really looked like we were going to cause the problem. We didn't do enough for this game, and it's a shame because Mo Salah is not fit to start the game. I mean, Divock Origi's got to start. It doesn't hold the ball up enough really on that side, and it means that Mane's playing on the right, and he's been fine on the right in recent weeks, but it's not his best position. His best position is playing for the left usually, and he was isolated when he got on the ball in the first half. We caused problems. That's absolutely no accident in any way, shape or form. And it threatened to be one of those afternoons. We looked like we were shitting the bed. It looked like we were shitting the bed at Old Trafford, and we've shit the bed at Old Trafford too many times in my lifetime. There's a weird hoover in this place. It's like when the Blues come to Anfield, to be perfectly honest. I don't know what it was. The word bravery keeps coming back in my mind. I don't think the Liverpool shit much, but you just need to take the ball. You need to drop a shoulder. You need to beat a man, and you need to set the tone. You need to show that you believe yourself to be better than them. And when we have players on the pitch doing that, I think it's ultimately our quality did in fact show. And it's a shame. The one thing that I feared all season with VAR happened. We scored a goal. We celebrated like mad. It gets chalked off. And then obviously with 8 going in 1-0 down, I mean, had that at least gave us a little bit of hope that we could stick the ball in the back of the net. Because if we'd not had that, there wasn't much we could do at that point. Firmino's got a great chance. He should score that in the first half. When he doesn't, he's starting to worry. He's just going to be one of those games. You know, we're going to come unraveled. All those little fears that exist in the back of your mind that happened for 30 years start to rear their ugly heads. And you think, well, I don't want to live in that world anymore. I want to live in this world. The way we're Liverpool, we can't give up. We keep going until the 95th minute, trying to win football matches, and we did, you know. And so ultimately, perception, if we were 1-0 up and we had an equalised, I'd be disappointed with the point here. I didn't want to point ahead and go into the game, but given the way it goes, I'm kind of made up for the points. It's weird, football is a very odd sport in that regard. It keeps us, of course, well, we weren't going to not be top of the league, but it keeps us undefeated, and that's the most important thing. I think at this stretch of the season, you're going to drop points. You have to drop points, but if you're going to do it, don't do it in defeat. Do it in the draw instead and learn from that. And I think hopefully this means that Oxlade-Chamberlain was his best performance since coming back from injury by far and away. He looked ready to start football matches for us again. Naby Keita similarly. I want to see us playing more in these games. I don't think we needed Fabinho in this game. I thought we could have done just as well with Gini Wijnaldum in that position, and you put Keita in. Maybe this is a game where they just played another minute now, and they can start football matches for us and impact them, because we've got a very good squad here, and I think we saw that with the lads who impacted off the bench. We need to see more and better. You can be fine with a point here, provided you pick yourselves up and you use the lessons of the moments we weren't great, and you grow from them and you improve with them, then I think you can take this as a very good point. But yeah, what a world where I'm disappointed with a point at Old Trafford, when, you know, for all my other life, these are better than somebody. Yeah, now they're the ones who are the spoilers, they're the ones who are time wasting, and they're the ones who are looking to piss on our bonfire, and that's because they've fallen so much from grace, and I find that really takes the skill. But I want to beat them all day long. We haven't done today, and that is the slight disappointment. Can't be disappointed, still be able to be top of the league. If you enjoyed this video, like, share and subscribe.
Yeah, we'll go into my player ratings next. And welcome to the Red Men TV. It is player rating, Sam, after Liverpool drew 1-1 with Manchester United. So we'll start with the goalkeeper, Alisson. Thought he'd come in, he did exactly what he's always been about, and that is be a top draw keeper. Don't think he really had a chance with Rashford when it was so close range and stuff, and the ball goes underneath him, and it kind of is what it is there. But ultimately, I think, you know, his passion was there. We saw why he was in there. He commanded his area well, a couple of big punches out from corners and stuff like that. So probably a 7 out of 10 for Alisson. And a good first game back. I think there's a few people worried about whether Manchester United was the right fixture. He allayed those fears by putting in a decent performance. So we'll start with Trent Alexander-Arnold, and a little bit of a strange one for him really, because I think so much was expected of him going into this game, and I think he did well without being outstanding, and I think that's what you can say about a lot of these players, if I'm honest. I think defensively he wasn't really troubled too much. In an attacking sense, his final ball wasn't quite there, but Manchester United wanted us to cross the ball in and Harry Maguire to head the ball away, and in that way we kind of played into their hands a little bit. So 10, probably a 7 out of 10. Joel Matip, I think, was probably one of his weaker performances in possession. There was a few times where it was just wayward balls and maybe not first to it and stuff like that, but defensively he was okay. Probably a 6 out of 10 performance from Joel, probably one of the worst we've seen this season because of the high standards that he set. Virgil van Dijk, probably a 7 out of 10. I thought he was sound again. You know, there's a few times he gets into one-on-one situations and does well and wins the ball back for Liverpool. But, yeah, nothing really to write home about with regards to Virgil's performance. Andy Robertson, probably the same as Trent. In defence, he was OK. They were looking to try and get the ball in behind him, and he stood up well to it. He was getting tight to his man, trying to stop balls into the box and stuff. And in an attacking sense, I really remember first half most, because, you know, he was kept whipping that ball up to Divock Origi and running on, and the ball wasn't sticking to Divock's feet. And that's not Robbo's fault, but that's the way that Liverpool were trying to build up against Manchester United today. So probably a 7 out of 10 maybe for him as well. Fabinho, probably a little too deliberate in possession, I thought, in this game. And, you know, he broke up play well. He takes a yellow card because he has to take a yellow card at the time. And probably a 6, 7 out of 10 performance from him. I'll go 6.5. Two midfielders, Jordan Henderson, I didn't think was very good today. Again, a tough game really for Hendo. I think, you know, second half you get shift right onto that right hand side, and his delivery was off as well, wasn't it? Probably a 6 out of 10 for him. Gino Wijnaldum started really brightly, and, you know, Paul said it and called it at half time, said he'd tire big time, because he did in the last Premier League game for us, and I felt like he did again. You know, he had an opportunity first half to really strike the ball and put one in on De Gea's goal and failed to do that, but he was probably the standout player first half, but probably 7 out of 10 all told. Over on the right hand side to begin with, it was Sadio Mane, and our best stuff came from Sadio Mane, but, you know, ultimately we didn't do too much with it. Obviously you get a goal disallowed for a handball or something like that. I'm not 100% sure what happened with that one, if I'm honest. It was the complete other side of the pitch, and he whips the ball in for Roberto Firmino really well, who forces De Gea into a fairly easy save, if I'm honest. So yeah, for Sadio, probably another 7 out of 10. Bobby Firmino, his touch wasn't there first half, was it? And I think he improved second half when he changed positions. He went to that 43-1 and he kind of played the 10, and he started to link things up much better. We're all talking about a 6 out of 10 again, maybe a 7 out of 10 for him. Divock Origi couldn't, you know, he had that early run, didn't he, at the fullback, and he looked like he was going to get the better of him time and time again. Flattered to deceive, really. It wasn't really a case of what happened throughout the rest of the game, so probably a 6 out of 10 for him. Adam Lallana, in fact, no, first of all, it was Oxlade-Chamberlain who comes on, wasn't it? And I think he did really well. I'll give him a 7 out of 10. I thought he was driving with the ball at his feet with purpose. You know, he was trying to get shots off. So yeah, probably a 7 out of 10 for him. Adam Lallana gets the goal, probably a 7 out of 10 for him. And Naby Keita, yeah, 7 out of 10 again, probably for Naby. All told, it wasn't a vintage Liverpool performance, but Manchester United didn't win the game, and ultimately it did feel to me like if there was going to be a win in that game, it was going to be Liverpool. But the referee right royally screwed us over. VAR's an absolute pile of pants. If you've liked the video, like it, subscribe to Red Men TV on YouTube and click that notification bell. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra. And finally, here's a little snippet from the RedMenTV.com's instant match reaction, filmed after every single game, near or far, home or away, about 10 to 15 minutes, diving a little bit more depth and detail before the final word. Here's me and Paul sat in a car in Manchester. The big thing coming out of it is we weren't very good.
No, I thought we were poor, particularly in the first half. I think the game plan, as I understood it, and I had a lot of people talking about this, like, go in there, silence the crowd, so frustrate them, you know, just play, keep hold of the ball, knock it around, whatever. We didn't knock the ball around. Our one and only tactic was getting it to the fullbacks and whipping it down the flank to the feet of Divock Origi and hoping he somehow held onto it and did something, you know. And what happened was they were emboldened. You know, they didn't die down. All they were looking for, I said to you, they were in a position, they're in a position as a football, a set of football fans in a football club, where winning a corner against Liverpool is massive, because that's how far they've fallen. I recognise it, because I remember we've been like that against these games. It feels significant to get like a, to get a chance or to try and put a cross in and what have you. So as the half wore on, they actually, although they didn't particularly cause us problems, they felt the more likely because the crowd was getting on their side. And I think we, whether it was a tactical thing or whatever, or a combination of poor performance, we didn't do what we needed to do to get a grip on that game.
No, we didn't. And listen, for me, I think one of the big talking points, it was Salah not being in the squad. And, you know, on paper, maybe it didn't make too much of a difference. But as the first half went on, really, there was a huge difference there, because the ball wasn't sticking to Origi. It seemed like the idea for us to build up was get it to Andy Robertson, flick it down the line to Divock, and see if he can get in one-on-one situations.
And a couple of times he caused some problems, didn't he, with his pace, trying to stretch him behind.
He did, but generally speaking, he flattered to deceive in that regard. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, his best work came in the first 3 minutes of the game, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he's in a sprint and he's in shoulder barge, and I think the foul goes against him. And a little did we know then that would be the story of the game with regards to the referee and the fouls for Manchester United, because that was a fucking truly pathetic performance by a ref.
60 minutes, I think, or 60 odd minutes. You know, because I said, have we had a free kick in this game? And you're like, no, I don't feel like we have. But you know, well, we got one in the second half, and you get the ironic cheers. Bobby Firmino looked like he'd been on the lash for 2 weeks. Like he, and I think it's difficult because in those situations, and I look at you when you're playing 4-2-3-1, I thought they were fine, weren't they, Man United? They weren't overly ambitious, but they were quite solid. And you know, their defence is fine, isn't it, by and large, this season? That's not the criticism of Man United, is not that they're weak defensively. They're never there for the taking. They're largely fine. You need someone to hold the ball, and Bobby Firmino's the man who's meant to link everything all together for us, and he doesn't. So I think the best player in the first half was Gini Wijnaldum.
Yeah,
I thought he was great in possession, keeping the ball. He was the one looking to make things happen, but he tried the Holland thing a couple of times, just left hand side of the area, just trying to get it out for a shot, doesn't quite work out. But he was the one who was the one outstanding life for me in the first half. But we needed more, and
Manny just wasn't in the game, Paul.
No,
that was the big
thing.
But
when he gets in the game, we're good.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I mean, he runs down the right hand side, he whips a ball in for Firmino hits it into David De Gea. Other than that, he obviously gets a goal that's obviously chalked off of VAR. But when he's in the game, he was brilliant, and I think it was key that second half we changed things around and tried to get him more involved.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we did, if I'm perfectly honest, but he was in better areas of the pitch. Bobby Firmino's touch seemed to improve as the game went on, because towards the end, you know, 80 minutes in, we started to look like Liverpool a bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
We started to play with a bit of confidence, and at that point I'm thinking, if there is going to be a winner, it probably is going to be Liverpool at this point. But we had to fight tooth and nail just to get back into the game. And that VAR decision at the end of the first half, look, I've not seen it back, you've not seen it back yet. We're told that it was a handball. And that has been the post-match podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. If you want to listen to the entire or watch the entire instant match reaction video, or listen to it in your podcast player, then do sign up to redmentv.com. It is just £5 a month, and for that £5 a month, we will give you in excess of 20 hours of entertainment around Liverpool Football Club each and every month. Price of a pint, 20 hours of entertainment minimum. Sign up, redmentv.com. First month is free. See you later. Ta-ra.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.